Keren did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Southeast as you listen. This is their story. In Oxford East, graduates with first-class mathematics degrees want to teach in schools facing critical shortages. But government departments ration training bursaries as though the Treasury must hunt for pounds under sofa cushions before creating new teachers. The classrooms exist, the candidates exist, but the political will to fund them does not.
I grew up on the Blackbird Lays estate knowing that numbers were my superpower. While my friends struggled with fractions, I saw patterns everywhere. My mum worked two cleaning jobs to keep us afloat, and I was the first person in my family to even think about university. Oxford Brookes accepted me for mathematics, and 4 years later I graduated with first-class honours. The real revelation came during my degree when I started tutoring younger students. My brother Jake was failing GCSE maths until I started helping him. Watching his face light up when algebra finally clicked, I knew I had found my calling. Teaching was not just what I wanted to do. It was what schools desperately needed me to do. Everyone knew there was a maths teacher shortage. The newspapers ran stories about it every term. When I applied for a PGCE in secondary mathematics at Oxford Brookes in September 2022, they accepted me immediately. The admissions tutor told me there were bursaries available specifically for maths teachers because the shortage was so critical. Finally, the system was making sense. They needed maths teachers. I wanted to be a maths teacher. And they had money to train me. Perfect. The first crack appeared in November when I went to the teacher training office to secure my funding. The woman behind the desk looked uncomfortable as she scrolled through her computer. "I'm sorry," she said, "but the Department for Education has reduced bursary allocations for the Southeast region this year." She suggested I apply for a student loan instead. I had already turned down a graduate job in data analysis to pursue teaching. Taking on debt felt like a betrayal of everything I had worked for, but I was determined. I enrolled anyway and took evening shifts at a local Italian restaurant to cover my rent and course fees. In January 2023, I decided to go straight to the source. I called the Department for Education and eventually spoke to someone in teacher recruitment. I explained that I was exactly the kind of candidate they said they needed, a first-class mathematics graduate willing to teach in a region with chronic shortages. The voice on the phone sounded genuinely sympathetic. "I understand your frustration," she said, "but Treasury spending rules mean we have to work within fixed budgets regardless of regional teacher shortages." There it was. "There is no funding." It sounded reasonable. Departments have budgets. Budgets have limits. Everyone knows that. I tried one more angle. Oxford City Council had an education department. Surely they would want to support local people training to teach in local schools. The education officer I spoke to was apologetic but firm. "Our education budget has been cut," he said. "We cannot afford to run programs like that anymore." Another closed door. Another version of the same explanation. The money simply was not there. By March, I was walking through the university's education building between seminars, and something started to bother me. Our PGCE cohort had 12 students. 12. The seminar room we sat in had 30 desks. The walls were lined with unused teaching resources, whiteboards that had not been written on, boxes of manipulatives still in their packaging, entire cupboards of textbooks gathering dust. The course was designed for 30 trainee teachers. The infrastructure existed for 30 trainee teachers. But only 12 of us were there. I started asking questions. How many people had applied for the course? More than 60. How many had been accepted? All of them. How many could afford to start without a bursary? 12. I walked past empty lecture theatres that should have been full of future teachers. I sat in a library stocked with education theory books that 12 people could not possibly read through. The building was built for the teacher shortage everyone said existed. But the seats sat empty. That was when the excuse stopped making sense. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. When my mum said, "We cannot afford it," she meant she did not have pounds in her purse and the bank would not lend her more. When the Department for Education said, "There is no funding," they meant something entirely different. They meant the government that creates pounds chose not to create the specific pounds that would connect graduates to classrooms. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I finished the PGCE.
I am teaching now in a school where half the maths lessons are covered by non-specialists because they cannot recruit qualified teachers. The restaurant shifts paid off my course fees, but I think about those empty desks every day. Not just the 18 missing from our cohort, but all the empty desks in all the schools across the southeast, where maths teachers should be, but are not. I used to accept the excuse that departments had fixed budgets. I hear it differently now. The Treasury does not find pounds under sofa cushions before allocating them to education. It creates them with keystrokes and political decisions. What I experienced was not the natural limit of resources. It was the artificial limit of imagination. They could have trained 30 maths teachers as easily as 12. The building existed. The tutors existed. The textbooks existed. What did not exist was the political will to use them. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people who want to serve and communities who need that service are kept apart by someone in Westminster insisting the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked, and someone else was holding the key.
What Kieran experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where government spending failed to justify never spending again while ignoring overwhelming evidence of success. Think of a tobacco company in the 1960s pointing to one healthy smoker to claim cigarettes were harmless while ignoring thousands of studies showing lung cancer links. They cherry-picked the data that supported their predetermined conclusion. In education policy, cherry-pickers cite the occasional failed teacher training program to justify cutting bursaries across entire regions. They ignore decades of evidence showing that properly funded teacher training produces qualified teachers who stay in the profession. They ignore the success of countries like Finland, where teaching is a prestigious, well-supported profession. They ignore the fact that their own departments measure teacher shortages every year and find the same result: not enough qualified teachers. Behind every instance of cherry-picking lies the false belief that government budgets work like household budgets. When Treasury officials told Kieran they had to work within fixed budgets, they were treating the currency issuer like a currency user. The UK government issues its own pounds. It does not need to find them before spending them. The real constraint is resources, lecturers, buildings, time. Those resources were sitting idle in empty lecture theatres and unused seminar rooms. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Oxford East ranks 361 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 3,090 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Local organisations receive £29.1 million in total grants, according to 360 Giving Grant Navi. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.